All right, let's open our Bibles now to Psalm 86. I titled the message this evening, Teach Me Thy Way. I took my title from the opening words of verse 11 of Psalm 86. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Now, salvation is being taught of God. But being taught what? Salvation is being taught the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said that the Father teaches His people, and everyone that has learned of the Father cometh unto Christ. The Father teaches the Lord Jesus Christ. He teaches us that salvation is all in Him. And David is a ready student here. He's asking the Lord to teach me. And he asks the Lord specifically, teach me your way. Now, God's way is not a what? God's way is not a set of doctrines. God's way is not a way to live. God's way is a who? The Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And in every way, Christ is the way. Christ is the way to God. There's not many different ways to God. We all go in different directions and wind up in the same place. No, Christ is the way to God. Christ is the way of salvation. There's no other way of salvation. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Christ is the way of salvation. Christ is the way of eternal life. Eternal life is knowing Him. Christ is the way of forgiveness. Would you have your sin forgiven? Go to Christ. He's the only way of forgiveness. Christ is the way of righteousness. Christ is the way of holiness. And the Lord must teach us this way, because by nature we don't know it. That's why David asked the Lord to teach him. You know, every way that we think, when you're talking spiritually, every way that we naturally think is wrong, without exception. Solomon said, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. It seems so right to him, it makes such sense to him. But the problem is, it makes sense to his dead mind. Solomon said, the end thereof are the ways of death. Men make up ways to be saved. They make up a way to earn eternal life. They make up a way to worship God. But man's way always brings death. It never brings life, because Christ is the way of life. And by nature, we don't see Him and we don't want Him. So we need the Lord to teach us His way. Now, I'll give you a couple examples. By nature, man thinks that every religious person is saved. And we just think, well, I might disagree with them on some things, but they got to be good somehow. Look how religious they are. And man says, I just want to be loving. So I'm just not going to say that the religious way that somebody else chooses is bad. That would be unloving. I'm not going to say that. Well, look at Psalm 119. That's not what David said when David was taught God's word. Psalm 119, verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts, through your word, through your law, I get understanding. Therefore, when I get this understanding, I hate every false way. See, once I learn the sweetness of God's way, I hate every sour way. Once I learn Christ, I hate every false way. Because I love Him. Now, that doesn't mean we got to be mean about it. Matter of fact, we shouldn't be mean about it, but it can't be tolerated. It can't be compromised with. It can't be accepted. And being taught Christ is more than learning to repeat the right doctrine. It's more than being able to point out the error of somebody else. Look out, they're wrong. That's not being taught Christ. Being taught Christ is loving Him. It's trusting Him. It's knowing that there's no other way of salvation. And not only do I know there's no other way of salvation, I don't want any other way but Christ, if I've been taught Christ. Being taught Christ is being taught that there is no other hope of eternal life, and I wouldn't want one anyway. Being taught Christ is knowing there's no other gospel. The Apostle Paul said, which is not another. There's no other gospel other than the gospel of Christ. And this was the difference between Moses and the children of Israel. The children of Israel saw God's power in all of his acts toward them, didn't they? They saw his power in the plagues. They saw his power in delivering them from Egypt. They saw God's power, the awesomeness of God's power in giving the law. And you know what they said when they saw that? Moses, don't you let him speak to us. You go speak to him and you come back and tell us what he said. They saw his power. But that's all that they saw. They saw his power leading them through the wilderness. But God showed Moses his way. God showed Moses why he did what he did. God showed Moses how all of those things pointed to Christ. So when the children of Israel saw the law, they saw God's acts. They saw, well, here's a way that I'm supposed to earn holiness. This is what God requires of me, so I can do this and God will accept me. They saw the act. But Moses, when he saw the law, he saw Christ. He saw Christ who would come and keep the law because we can't. Moses saw God's way. He saw God's purpose in giving the law. It was to point us to Christ. And here's a good example for us today. The whole religious world, and pretty much all the world in general, knows this fact. Jesus of Nazareth died on a cross. Now, I grant you, I've not traveled very far, but I don't think I've ever met somebody that knows that. Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, died on a cross. That's knowing God's act, isn't it? Knowing God's way is knowing why Christ died on the cross. He died for the sin of his people. He died to put the sin of his people away. Knowing God's way is knowing what Christ accomplished on the cross. He accomplished the eternal salvation of his elect people. He didn't die to make salvation possible for as many people as might want him. He died to accomplish the salvation of his people. That's knowing God's way. The same thing applies to his resurrection. Pretty much the whole world knows about it. I'm seeing all kinds of specials about it now on the National Geographic and History Channel, all these things there. In a few weeks, everybody's going to be so taken up with the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. The whole religious world knows Christ rose from the dead. That's knowing God's act. Knowing God's way is knowing what does it mean that Christ rose from the dead. Christ rose from the dead as the evidence. He justified his people by his death. God couldn't have raised him from the dead if the sin that was charged to him was still on him. No, he put the sin of his people away. Sin's gone. Well, if all the sin laid on Christ is gone, blotted out under his blood, then everyone for whom he died must be saved because he justified them by his blood. The fact that Christ arose from the dead means this. He is the successful, victorious people, and he cannot fail to save his people. That's knowing God's way. Now, that's the Savior I want to trust. That's the Savior I want to know, don't you? Teach me him. That's what David's saying. Teach me him. And when the Lord teaches us his way, you know what he teaches us? From beginning to end, it's all Christ. I started putting my notes today, it's all of Christ, and I scratched that out. It's more accurate to say, from beginning to end, it's all Christ. It's all him. Now, trust him. That's what David's asking God to teach us here. And I want to give us five results of God teaching us his way. Number one is this. If God's taught me his way, I'm going to walk in his truth. Verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Now, just like the way of God, the Lord Jesus Christ is the truth of God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So what is it to walk in truth? Well, to walk in God's truth is to walk in faith. It's to walk the very same way you began.
You who believe God, how did you begin? You began looking to Christ. You began your spiritual life believing Him.
Well, to walk in Christ, to walk in the truth, is continue walking. Continue looking to Christ. Continue living by faith. Nobody's ever been saved by faith, and then they got to keep themselves saved by how they keep the law. You don't keep yourself saved by being better than the average Joe. We're saved by looking to Christ, and we walk in truth by walking, looking to Him, trusting Christ. And if you're looking to Christ, if you're looking to Him by faith, you're going to know the way to go because you follow Him. You'll know how to act. You'll act in love. You'll act in grace because you're looking to Him. You're not going to need the law to tell you what to do. You're looking to the Savior. Walking in truth is walking like I really do believe the truth. I believe the truth of who Christ is. And I believe the truth of who I am. And you know how I know the truth of who I am? By looking to Christ. When I see Him, then I see how sinful I am. Then I see how much I need Him. The truth about myself is this. I'm a sinner. Everything I do is sin. I am incapable of doing anything righteous or anything holy. Well, walking in truth is knowing I don't try to come to God by what I do. I only come to Him by the merit of Christ. The truth about Christ is He's the Savior of sinners. That's who He is. Well, buddy, He fits my need. I'm a sinner. I need Him. So I live trusting Christ, trusting that He'll do what He said He'd do, that He would save a poor sinner like me without any of my works added to it. And I just depend upon Him. That's walking in truth. Now, when we walk in truth, our works will not be perfect. I'm not putting something on you saying, your work's got to be perfect. Outwardly, you got to show this, you know, without a crack. No, sir. Walking in truth does not mean we're perfect. Look at 1 Kings chapter 3. I'll show you this. Now, certainly there is no excuse for our sin. I'm not excusing our sin whatsoever. But walking in truth is not living a sinless life. It's walking, looking to Christ and trusting Christ. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God asked, "What shall I give thee?" And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth." Now David walked before God in truth, and in righteousness, and in the uprightness of heart with thee, and thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now you all know the life of David, don't you? David committed too many sins for us to even list. But the Word of God says he walked in truth. Now the only way that's possible that David walked in truth is that he walked by faith in Christ. That he walked depending upon Christ. That's walking in truth. It's depending on Christ. It's depending on Him to keep me. God's the one that put us in the straight and narrow way, isn't He? We didn't find that way ourselves. God put us in it. Well, depending on God is depending on Him to keep us in that straight and narrow path by His mercy. Walking in His truth is walking depending upon Christ. All right, number two, if God's taught me His way, my heart will fear Him. At the end of verse 11, David says, "Unite my heart to fear thy name." Now, salvation is a heart work. This, what we're talking about, this teaching here, is not teaching in the head. It's a heart work. God has got to give us a new heart in the new birth. God can't even teach our old heart. That old heart is hard and dead and can't learn. This teaching we're talking about is God giving us a new heart in the new birth. Walking in truth is not a matter of outward conduct. I mean, our outward conduct ought to be good, but that's not walking in truth. Walking in truth is not just a mere head knowledge of facts. I mean, I hope By teaching the word, you're well taught those facts, but that's not walking in truth. Walking in truth is a matter of the heart. It's heart fear. It's heart reverence and worship of the Lord. And God's got to give us that heart, because we don't have it by nature. Scripture says our natural heart hates God. Our carnal mind, our carnal heart, our carnal nature is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. So God's got to give us a new heart. And if my heart is united to Christ, I will not leave Him. I especially won't leave Christ to be joined to those who hate Him and who hate His way of salvation by grace. If my heart is united to Christ, I will not be able to tolerate false religion. Now, like I said earlier, you don't have to be mean about it, but I'm not going to compromise with them. I'm not going to join up with them if my heart's united to Christ. Look back a few pages at Psalm 26. Psalm 26. In verse 3, David says, Psalm 26, verse 3, "For thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I've walked in thy truth." Now here is a description of having walked in thy truth. "I've not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers." That word dissemblers means those that put up dividers. They use a cloak to cover the truth, to cover up what they're doing and make it not plain. That's false religion. David says, I'm not sat with them. Verse 5, he says, "I've hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked." Now, brethren, false religion is wicked. And that's not me being mean now. That's what God's Word says. And to sit in fellowship with the wicked, just because I want to be all loving and accepting, you know, that's the thing in our day. You got to accept everybody what they're doing. Well, the Word of God says that's wicked. David said, "I haven't done it." Verse 6, he says, "I'll wash my hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works." David says, "I'm going to spend my time talking about all God's wondrous works, His wondrous works of grace and love and mercy. I'm going to spend my time where Christ is preached, around His altar. I'm going to be where the gospel's preached." And that heart that fears the Lord is united to Christ, and it will not leave Him. And you tell it by a person's walk. And I'll use this example. A man who will leave his wife for another woman doesn't love his wife. A heart that fears the Lord is committed to Christ. No matter what. I mean, no matter what comes, I've got to have Him first. And nothing's going to come between me and Him. A man who finds, and boy, I've worked with men like this, they find every excuse not to go home at the end of the workday, not to go home to his family, is not committed to his family. You can't convince me that he is. And a heart that fears the Lord will not tolerate false religion that lies about Christ. A woman who will sit and listen to lies about the character of her husband doesn't love him. The same thing's true about the bride of Christ. If we can sit and listen to lies about the character of our Savior, it's because we don't love Him. Look at 1 John chapter 1. Wayne read this in the study. And when he read it, I thought, boy, I wish I'd thought of this. This is what I'm saying right here. 1 John 1, verse 6. "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." If we can have fellowship with darkness, our heart is not united to Christ. Impossible. Now look at Jeremiah chapter 32. I'm going to take away all the fear and all the anxiety about this heart. You know, we talk about a heart that fears the Lord won't tolerate false religion. It'll be committed to Christ. It'll be united to Christ. And it won't leave Him. And I know what comes across our minds. I'd leave Him if I could. I'll walk in darkness if he doesn't stop me. I won't be committed to him at all. I'm so selfish. I won't be committed to Christ first. Hang on a minute. This heart that's taught of God, that's united to Christ, is the heart that God gives his people so they will not leave him. And they will not quit worshiping him. He won't allow it. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 38. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. And I will give them one heart. They're all going to have the same heart. I'm going to give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and for their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and I will not turn away from them to do them good. See, that's why we won't turn away from him, because he makes this covenant. I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I'll put my fear in their hearts. And they shall not depart from me. They will not depart from me, because I'm going to give them this heart, this new heart that's taught of God, that's united to Christ. And they will not leave me. All right, thirdly, back in our text, Psalm 86. If God has taught me his way, I will glorify his name. Verse 12, David says, I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart. And I will glorify thy name forevermore. Now, glorifying God's name is praising every attribute of God. And we talk about the attributes of God. The attributes of God tell us what God's like. His attributes describe his personality. Well, God's taught me his way. I'm going to praise his electing love. I'm not going to argue about God electing a people. I'm going to rejoice in this and glorify God, praise him, that Almighty God would stoop to choose a sinner like me. I'm going to glorify his electing love. I'm going to praise God's redeeming love. God sent his son to die for a sinner like me. Now, you got a little while? I can glorify God about that, can't you? If God's taught me, I'm going to praise God's regenerating grace. How can I praise God enough that he would give eternal life to a sinner like me? I'm going to praise him for that. I'm going to praise God's calling grace. God didn't leave this thing to chance. He called, and he called a sinner like me and made me come to him. Gave me a heart that wanted to come to him. And I'll praise God for his keeping grace. I haven't kept myself up to this point, and I'm not going to keep myself in the future. God's going to keep me by the power of his grace. I'm going to praise him for that. If God's taught me his way, I'm going to praise God's wisdom in how he saved his people. Only God is wise enough to provide a ransom that will enable him to still be holy, to be just, and still justify a sinner like me through the sacrifice of his son. I'm going to praise God for his wisdom that provides such a sure salvation. If God's taught me his way, I'm going to praise him for his righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord, my righteousness. I'm going to praise God that he has made his son to be my righteousness. And he didn't leave it up to me to have to keep the law well enough to get it. But that he made his son to be my righteousness. I'm going to praise him for that. Now, all that sounds real good, doesn't it? But praise doesn't end there. If God's taught me his way, I'm going to praise. It's easy to praise God for everything he does. He just gives me everything I want, everything I need. It's easy to praise him for that, isn't it? Now, we ought. I'm not saying we ought not. We should. But if God's taught me his way, I'm going to praise God's sovereign right to do as he will, to save whom he will, when he will. And I don't say that lightly. Every one of us here have loved ones that hate the gospel. And it breaks my heart. It just breaks my heart to see those who I love refuse to believe the gospel, to refuse to even listen to it. It breaks my heart. I pray for them. I hope the Lord ever give me an opportunity to tell them about Christ in a way that they listen.
But if they refuse to bow, I'm not going to get, by God's grace, I'm not going to get mad at God and go find me a new religion that lets my loved one into heaven even though they hate salvation by sovereign grace alone. By God's grace, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to go get mad at God and find me a new religion that lets my loved one into heaven even though everything they believe flies contrary to God's word. By God's grace, I'm not going to do it. That breaks my heart. But I'm still going to bow. I'm still going to bow to God. That's walking in God's way. Even when my heart is broken, it's united to Christ. Praising God. Praising the Lord is praising Him even when my flesh hurts, like I almost don't have words to describe. By believing anyway. That is praising the Lord. You know, I think about those martyrs. It boggles my mind how somebody can be tied to a stake and being burned alive and sing hymns. I love singing hymns here, don't you? Isn't it wonderful? Singing that hymn when you're tied to a stake, being burned to death, is praising the Lord, isn't it? That's what I'm talking about. All right, fourthly, if God has taught me His way, this is what I'm going to say. It's all of God's mercy. Verse 13, for great is Thy mercy toward me, and Thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. Now, if God has taught me His way, I'm not going to take any credit for my salvation. God didn't save me because I was better than anybody else. God saved me because His mercy toward me was great. Great. And it had to be great mercy because I could not and did not deserve it. And if God's taught me His way, I'm going to give Him the credit for that. I can't take any credit for having spiritual life. God delivered me from hell. He delivered me from the grave of my dead nature, and He's the one that gave me life. He's the one, just like He came to Lazarus, said, Lazarus, come forth. He does that to every one of His people. Right? Come forth. Janet, come forth. Brady, come forth. And they do. He did that. I didn't deserve that. God did that for me in mercy. And somebody who believes the doctrines of grace, and the doctrines of grace are just doctrines or points that describe Christ the Savior, salvation in God's grace. Somebody believes that in salvation by grace alone. You know how they show they believe it? They don't look down their nose at anybody. Now, I'm not saying don't make a judgment about somebody's doing right or wrong. You can make a determination if somebody's doing right or wrong. You can make a determination, a judgment, if somebody, what they're preaching, is true or false. Is it true or a lie? Scripture tells us, make that determination. Try the spirits, whether they be of God. But if God's taught me His way, I'm not going to look down my nose at it. Because I know the only difference between me and them is God's mercy. Only difference. People who have room to look down their nose at somebody else had something to do with making themselves better. Isn't that right? Isn't that the description of self-righteousness? That I, through self, made myself better than the next guy? Well, if God's taught me His way, I know a whole lot better than knowing self had anything to do with my righteousness. The only thing myself had to do in this matter of salvation is providing a sinner that God had saved. It's all of God's mercy. It's all of His mercy. Alright, here's the last thing. If God has taught me His way, I'll hear Christ speak in His Word. If God has taught me His way, I'll see that God's Word is all about Christ. Now, I may not see it my own self when I first read it. But I hear it preached, I'll say, that's it. Verse 14. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God, full of compassion,
and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant and save the son of thine handmaid. Now this can only be the Lord Jesus Christ speaking. He's the son of God's handmaid. He's the one who suffered knowing of God's mercy and truth. This is only Christ. It can only be him speaking. The proud rose up against him. Those proud religious leaders, oh, they're so proud in their self-righteousness, and they're just, but they're blind and they're dead. And they got together in their blindness and they crucified the Lord of glory. And you just, that is the most horrible thing man has ever done, to show our hatred of Almighty God. But you know, God used that. God used that to show mercy to his people. God used those men. But he used that whole crowd crying, crucify him, so that he could be merciful to his people through the blood of the sacrifice of his son. Yes, they crucified him. But in that death, in that crucifixion, that sacrifice, he put away the sin of his people. And he didn't stay dead. God raised him from the dead. Now, you see, that's Christ speaking. Now, verse 17. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. Because thou, Lord, hast hope in me and comforted me. Now, I'm not a real big fan of asking the Lord to show me a token. You know, Lord, if you do this, then I'll know I'm supposed to do this, that, or the other. You know, Lord, show me a token so I know if I'm supposed to choose option A or option B. Now, I don't know about you, although I suspect you're a lot like me. I can pretty much interpret anything to go the way choose the way I wanted to go all along anyway. I'm not a big fan of asking for a token in making decisions like that. But here, we're talking about salvation. Now, we're talking about being taught of God in the heart, taught God's way, his way of salvation in Christ. Well, does God give a token like that to his people? Yes, he does. He does. The token of grace that he gives to his people is faith in the heart, so that you believe the gospel when you hear it. Now, do you believe the gospel when you hear it? Well, that's God's token to you. If you believe the gospel and you hear it preached, God's already given you a new heart. He's already done a work of grace in your heart, because you don't believe this with the old natural heart you're born with. You only believe this when God gives you a new heart. Faith in Christ is the token God gives you that he's had mercy upon you. And the token I thought of is Noah. You remember after Noah got off the ark, the first time in his life he ever saw it rain, it flooded the earth and killed everybody but 8 souls and the animals on that ark. That was the first time Noah ever saw it rain. Well, God knew what would be in Noah's mind. And when he got off that ark, God said, Noah, I'm going to give you a token. He used the word token. Noah, I'm going to give you a token that I'll not destroy the earth with water again. He said, look up there in the sky. See that bow? Noah, that's my token to you, that I'll not destroy this earth again with water. And you can tell me all you want to, how there's water particles in the air and the sun shines through it and makes these colors. You can scientifically explain all you want to. This is what I know. That's God's token. He's not going to destroy this earth again with water. And Noah got off that ark. I think we've got to start building us a house. We need a fire to cook with. The only wood around was that ark, and Noah started chopping it up. He built him a house. He's in a great big gaping hole in that ark, and it starts to rain. And Noah thinks, I remember last time it started to rain, he looked at that ark, and he thought, uh-oh, it's not seaworthy anymore. And he's worried. He looked in the sky, and he saw that rainbow. And he said, oh, it's all right. It's all right. There's God's token. He's not going to destroy us. A token of his promise. All right. Do you want a token? When you're sin, you fear the God's damnation and condemnation of your sin, and it makes you full of fear. Are you full of fear?
You want a token that'll comfort your heart? It's faith in Christ.
Oh, there's the token. Yes, when we look at ourselves, all we see is sin. If you're looking for a token, you're not going to find it looking in you. You want to find that token? Look to God's Word. Listen to the gospel. If you believe it when you hear it, that's God's token to you.
He's already been gracious to you.
That's the token. God taught that to your heart. That is God teaching us His way. No wonder David said, Lord, teach me Your way. All right, let's bow together. Our Father, how we thank You for Your Word. How we thank You for Your Word that teaches us, that reveals to our hearts the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we cry with our brother David, teach us Your way, O Lord. Lord, apply this to our hearts. Only You can be the teacher. Lord, teach this to our hearts, that we might leave here this evening rejoicing in Christ our Savior. As we walk through the rest of our journey here below, cause us to walk in Your truth, looking to and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His blessed name we pray and give thanks.